welcome to another episode, and also, happy holidays. Here's hoping you got all the modules you wanted this year, just so you can sell them back next year when something else comes out. Hopefully you all have a wonderful time over the holidays, boring your relatives to dinner over conversations about shift registers, and why you can never have enough VCAs. I figure for the potential last episode of the year, we could focus on modules that, you know, everyone takes for granted. Few people ask for when they want a new module for Christmas, but they do make great stocking stuffers, and that's utilities. They all might not be as glamorous or as complex as something like Make Noise Maths, but they're actually very important to any patch you do. And so why is that important to your patch? Well, because while you have your oscillators and your filters and your sequencers, and you know, all your fancy stuff like that, the utilities are the working man in your case. They do all the fine tuning stuff. You know, they take out signals that you don't want too big of a value on. I mean, they just do the most mundane tasks that people really take for granted when they start patching and stuff like that. And they don't really, you know, you don't really realize it until you have a more complex patch you want to do that. Like, oh, I need another mixer. I need another VCA. I need attenuators. I need logic. I need just very simplistic things to make your patch more interesting. And so, you know, as boring as they sound, I think they really do get a lot of good results out of patches. And I know a lot of people who are into this know, like, yeah, these are very important. But, you know, people getting into modular, you got to tell them, like, hey, like, I know you want to get, like, five oscillators in your case, like, right away. But it's kind of, you know, it's kind of silly, you know, when you first start out. And then also, you're not going to have any way of controlling, like, the volume of them without VCAs, even, you know, using VCAs just to modulate modulation, basically. You really need stuff like that. It's very important. And I think a lot of people don't consider that when they get into it. I mean, I know getting into modular, it's really hard to know what you need unless you have someone that can tell you, you know, what you should be looking for when you get in there. Not necessarily like what exact module to buy, but like, hey, you should get this function to help with this, you know, this function to help with this piece that you're getting in there. You know, it's a very hard, it's a very hard hobby to get into, because it's just not as mainstream as a lot of stuff is. And so you kind of have to just go down a rabbit hole. And, you know, it's I use the analogy of, like, it's like joining the Illuminati, where you don't know anything about it until you stumble into it and actually join. And then all of a sudden you start meeting people that, you know, they're in the know, and you start learning all the stuff that nobody else does. And then you start talking about it to people that aren't part of it, and they just look at you like you're crazy. Like, they have no idea what you're talking about, but you do. You're in this, like, secret society, which, I mean, is cool in a way, because it is a very esoteric thing to do. But it's one of those things where if you're not a part of it, but you're interested in it, you really have to dig deep to, you know, find out about it. And that's the thing with, like, utilities. Like, nobody knows going into it, like, oh yeah, I'm going to need, you know, attenuators and stuff just to, like, rein in signals. Like, you would never think about that until you actually start doing it. And it's like, oh crap, I got all these big modules and stuff, and I can't do what I want to with it without just these dinky little knobs that basically turn down the signal. So it's really important to know about all this stuff. I mean, I appreciate all the support and, you know, info that I've gotten over the years of doing this. And it's, you know, going into it, I'd never thought about it. You know, I just thought, like, okay, well, I'm just going to get another VCO and I'm going to get a filter. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't have anything to mix these with now. Like, I guess a mixer would be important with all this. You know, you don't think about it until you start getting all the other stuff. And then it's like, I need these little, you know, utility modules to really put it all together. So speaking of attenuators and attenuverters, I think that's what I'm going to start out with. I want to do something to show why that would be important in a patch. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a sequence going from the Clavis Twin Waves. Let's plug that in real quick here. Okay. And then I will take the second channel of Clavis, and I will do a stepped random voltage on it. And so you can see how that just kind of goes all over the place already, which, I mean, some people might, you know, want to do just to have weird computer noises going, but say you want a melody going with it, Well, the good thing about Clavis is it has a built-in quantizer. It's already right there. You have kind of utility. So you hear it getting locked to scale now. But that the pitches are going way too high there. I don't want something that jumps all the way around. So I will unplug that random voltage and put it into the channel 2 of Maths, which is an attenuverter, which means it takes a signal and either increases it or reverses it. So you can kind of use it as like a throttle to the signal, and then you can actually flip it so it'll go backwards, which is cool. And I'll show you how I'll plug the two back into the pitch on oscillator 1 on Clavis. And so you can hear right now, it's jumping up a little bit. And if I keep bringing the knob up, you hear the pitch starting to come up while it's still in scale, quantized. And that's going up. But you can lock it in to a, you know, a certain octave range just by reining back on that attenuator. And so you have a little melody going, a little generative melody going. And then with an inverter, you can actually go backwards. You just go counterclockwise. And now it's hitting lower octave ranges, too. So now you can get a bass line going. Just change the wave shape of the clavis to a saw wave. Slow that down a little bit. And let's send the output of the clavis into the Forbidden Planet filter. I'm just going to put on low pass mode here and then plug it back in and then bring up the frequency. I'm sweeping the frequency with my hand here. That's kind of boring. I don't want to keep doing that if I want to start patching something else. So what I'm going to do then is I will take the channel 1 of Maths, and it has two outputs. Well, it has three outputs, really. It has a normal out, which is just the rise and fall, and then it has a end of rise or end of fall gate out, basically. But then it also has an attenuated output, and I'm going to do that and send that to the frequency output there on the Forbidden Planet. Turn on the LFO, slow it down, and then turn up that attenuator. So now you can just hear the filter opening up with the LFO, and I can bring it back. And if I just kind of bring that attenuator back a little bit, you don't have as much of a fully open filter as you do now. And if I bring it back, it only opens up like halfway. So you've got a little sequence going on now with it. Which is really cool. And so, I mean, that's, you know, a way to use attenuators and attenuverters just to kind of help modulate your system and lock everything in to a certain way. So it just doesn't go all crazy, you know, in your patch. You're not just having, you know, signals going everywhere and, you know, pitches going all the way up the octave ranges. If you want something more fine-tuned, this is why you would use something like this. Speed up that Maths channel. Let's see about opening up the filter all the way and then using the inverter and do a backward signal. So now basically I've used the inverter to flip the signal backwards, basically, the LFO signal. And so now it's almost like a sidechain ducking compression effect to it. Because the LFO, it's almost like it's going backwards. And so it's starting at a full output and then slowly closing on the filter. Add some effects to this. Add some reverb now. Bring that pitch down a little bit. Change it back to a triangle wave. Speed up that LFO. Slow it down. Change the reverb algorithms. Then say I want to add some modulation to the waveform on channel one of the clavis. So I could have the other channel of maths doing that. And plug that in the parameter one, turn on cycle, turn up the attenuator there. Now basically it's going from a triangle wave to a saw wave when it sweeps up. And if I actually make the LFO go faster to audio rate, get a really cool like amplitude modulation type effect on the wave shape. Which is cool, but say like you don't want that all the time. So like you want to bring that in gradually. Well, my LFO doesn't have a way to like sequence the LFO basically, but what I can do is take that out, pop it into one of my VCAs. This is why you can never have enough VCAs, folks. Plug that back into the parameter like so, and if I turn up the volume on the VCA, now it's bringing it in. But once again, gotta use my hands for this, and I don't want to do that. It's kind of pointless. So what I can do is I can take an output of Pamela's new workout and go into the CV in on the VCA, and then I will set it to a sine wave on the Pamela's and slow it down a bit just so it'll take a while to rise up. If I turn it on, maybe make it slower. Turn the resonance up on the filter a little bit. And so now you can hear that kind of trill sound is just kind of fading in and out of the sequence. And that's because the VCA that has the LFO for maths in it is slowly opening and closing, letting that signal come out only a portion of the time. So it's going from a triangle to a saw wave. You know, it just kind of rises and falls and goes back down a triangle wave. And once the VCA opens up, then it'll go to a saw wave. And of course, I have the audio rate modulation. I can slow that down. And now the LFO's not going so fast. There's like peaks in the waveform or just it shifting to the saw wave. And just play with the attenuverter for the pitch. And then the attenuator for the filter, just open it up more. And so now, just with these two knobs, I can basically perform this patch and just bring up the filter modulation, and it kind of speeds up the sequence and change the melodies, basically. So the next patch, I think I'm going to focus on the Extra Mullet by Noise Engineering. It's a buffered multiple, which basically means it takes one signal and it multiplies it, or clones the signal to two extra signals, so that if you like want to send pitch CV to an oscillator and you only have one output normally and you want to have two voices going at the same time, you know, if you didn't have a multiple, you would only be able to CV the pitch on one. With buffered multiples, they let you use volt per octave CV, and you can split the signal, or clone it, I guess, and send it to multiple modules. Just depends on how many outputs are on the multiple. And this has like four channels, and it's two outputs for each channel. The cool thing about Extra Mullet, and I think I've said it before in another episode, is it has a mixer on the side. And what that does is if you send signals into each input on the multiples, on the right-hand side, the seven outputs besides the multiple outputs, are mixed versions of those outputs, and it's different orders. So you have one that's like outputs 1 and 4, outputs 2, 3, and 4, outputs 1 and 2, that kind of thing. And it'll blend those signals together. So not only do you have clones of the signals that you're trying to come, you know, you're putting in there that you want to come out and go to the other things, but now you have all new modulation sources that you can send elsewhere. So like, say you have two LFOs going, and, or not LFOs, if you have two envelopes going and you have like a, you have them hooked up to a VCA and you say like, I want a really long envelope, you know, mine's only an ADSR, but I kind of want it to be 8 points instead of the 4. So instead of ADSR, you want like ADSR, ADSR on it as one envelope. What you would do is you'd plug the envelope into two inputs and it would mix it together and you would have a longer envelope coming out of one spot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a sequence from a gate sequence going. And this audio is from Hertz Donut. And then I will send pitch CV to that. And I have my EMW sequential voltage to sending pitch sequence to it. I'm adding a little bit of a granular delay from the DSP. Just need, like, grabs little snippets of the sound. Let's say I want another voice. So I can have Clavis as another one here. Bring into my mixer. Okay. And then I have this sequence going. I have it malted in extra mullets. So now they're both running the same sequence, the same volt per octave sequence going into there. It's pretty cool. Say I want to add some variety to that, though, that sequence. Like, it's pretty just, you know, repetitive. Okay, I want to add something that kind of changes up over time. I have Clavis, and I have the second output going to a stepped random voltage. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to bring it over to a VCA. And I'm going to plug that into my channel 2 on my extra mullets. So now I have a clone of that going, and when you look at the right, it has the lights blinking for that. They have like little LEDs that show like the voltage signals, but there's a channel for 1 and 2 now, channel 1 and 2 getting mixed. So you're adding the step voltage in with the sequence. So I'm going to run that into my oscillators here, and I'll plug those off of channel 1, and I have a stackable cable. And so now you hear it jumping around. Which is cool, but it's a little too chaotic for my taste. So what I can do then is plug a source into the CV input on my VCA. So if I plug cable in the VCA, it'll shut off that random value. And what I'm going to use is on the Make Noise Morphogene, they have a CV out that basically is an envelope follower for the audio. So wherever the audio, the amplitude on the audio is affecting it. So when it gets louder, it'll send a CV volume out and still kind of jump around. So plug that in. Pick something that's not too... Thank you. sense. Now it's just throwing in these random voltages. If I don't want something so chaotic with that, I can do maybe just a step. So like a gate, basically, from Pam's. Or I'll use that sine wave again. Maybe I'll just use a gate for it. I don't want it to build up. I want it to just kind of throw in like a signal once in a while here. So now you have a melody going, just a basic sequence, but then you're throwing in, random melody into it as well, and it's mixing the two. And so you have, a whole new sequence going, adding variation as it goes with the random voltage. And then say I want to run voltage into the parameter of the granular delay, so it like grabs different size chunks of the audio, and I'll just take another mix out of that extra mullets. You'll hear it kind of stutter around. FM on the Hertz donut. Envelope shape. We change up the sequence a little bit. This is just sending out basically 0 to 10 volt sequence from the sequential gate, and it's just like 8 knobs you can turn, and it's the voltage rises and sending out those to the oscillators for the VCO, or for the vault per octave. And just speeding up the random gate. Let's say I want that to go down, because everything's just kind of going up in pitch. That's a little boring. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send that to into Maths. And into the attenuator. And then attenuvert it. So now the signal's going down, the random voltage. So if I bring it up, it's getting a lot higher in pitch. If I bring it down, That's introducing lower notes. Playing with the envelope time again. Let me speed up the sequence a little bit. Speed up the gate into the VC a little bit just to add more of the rain of voltage and faster pace. Let's play with the FM on the Hertz donut again. All right, this last one is just a quick patch I wanted to show. I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's using the Sound Hack Morphogene by Make Noise. And what I like doing with it is taking like audio samples and time stretching with it. And if people didn't know, you can actually feed a gate into the clock input on the Morphogene. And if you run it slow enough, it'll start to stretch it out and just smear it. If you ever watched the movie Dread, the new one with Carl Urban, that's what they did when they did the slow-mo scenes where they're taking the drug and slowing it down time. When they originally did it, I think they took like Justin Bieber or something, and they took one of his songs and they like slowed it down like really, really slow. I want to say like down like 100 times or something like that. And they really liked it, so they decided to do that. I don't think they used Justin Bieber in the movie, but it's just really cool like taking a song and then just like slowing it down so much that you don't even know what it is at that point. And it's just this like ambient wash going over. So I have Jack Stauber's song Buttercup, just a segment of it. That's about it. I don't have too much here just for copyright issues if needed. And so if I run a gate in there, and turn the grain size down really short. You can hear it already starting to go slow. And the gain's pretty fast on the Pamelas. I'm using Pamelas, and I didn't say it before, but Pamelas is a pretty good utility module, too. I mean, it's a gate sequencer, and you have LFOs, envelopes, random voltages, a whole bunch of stuff there. So, I mean, like, don't pass that up. I think a lot of people have Pamelas just because of the Swiss Army knife that it is. I mean, it's got 8 outs on it, and you can assign those to different things. So, if I slow down this gate, you can already hear it starting to go slow. And if I shorten that grain size even more, they turn down the pitch. So what I'll do is what's cool with the time stretching is, since it's synced to the clock, when you lower the very speed pitch on it, it won't slow down the audio like it normally does, like a tape loop. Instead, it's just like a granular synth. So if you slow it down with a clock and then you lower the pitch, it's still going to go the speed of the pitch. So if I speed up the clock, so now the pitch is low, but the speed is speeding up. So that's pretty cool too. But I'm gonna slow it down here. I think I have it like an eighth division on the PAMs. So that's pretty slow. Looks like I bring the pitch back up. Or I can reverse it too. May bring in some reverb here. So you can hear it just like making these like vast soundscapes out of just like a 5 second loop. Now let's say I want to run that into the Chaos Devices Belgrade, which is a filter. I really like using it for the Morphogene because it has a lot of different filter shapes to it. And then turn that back up. Maybe take out the high end on it. Use like a low pass filter here. Throw some cross modulation on the filter. This adds a little bit of like fuzz and distortion to the audio. Perfect Christmas music. Another really cool thing I like to do is With the firmware on the maths or on the Morphogene, the right channel input, if you don't have anything plugged into either input, if you plug something into the right channel and plug like an oscillator into it, you can do phase distortion. So you can hear it. Sounds like a really old tape. In fact, and then take the other attenuated output of maths, a slower LFO, into the VeriSpeed, and that also has an attenuator built into it. There we go. And that'll give it like a tape warble effect too, like a kind of vibrato to the sound. Let me switch the filter to like a notch filter. Make it even slower too. And I think what that's doing, if I remember, is on the Morphogene, is every time it sends a clock when you're in this time stretch mode, when it sends a clock pulse in, it skips to another segment of the sample. And that's why it's time stretching. So then it's just kind of dragging through that, and it's playing out and snapping it to the clock that's playing through it. Get a mix of Hertz Donut going there too, just something dark and noisy. The phase distortion on the Hertz Donut and the FM. Now you have a soundtrack to your own Christmas horror movie. Well, that does it for another episode of Patched. I just want to thank all the listeners out there and everybody talking about the podcast, and also the people I meet giving me feedback. I actually had someone tell me they liked the Rings episode I did a while back, which is funny because it's, from the analytics I've seen, it's the least listened to episode. And I mean, I get it. Like, you know, if you haven't heard it yet, because you think, oh, it's Rings, what, does it just patch it through clouds or something? Like, absolutely not. Mainly because I don't have clouds. If I did, I'd probably do that. But I do some pretty interesting patches with it using the samples from Chris Carter from Throbbing Gristle's TG1 module. And I just run it through the Rings in a non-conventional way. And I, you know, I strongly encourage anyone to listen to it. And I also encourage them to, you know, use Rings in an unconventional way too. If this is the first episode you're hearing, then definitely go back and listen to the other ones as well. And don't forget to give any of the other modular synthesizer podcasts that are out there a listen. Some of my favorites include the Podular Modcast, Esoteric Modulations, and Source of Uncertainty, which is a Buchla synthesizer podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions on patches, or just want to say hi, then email me at patchedpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to have a happy holiday and a happy new year. And don't forget to spend some time with your family in between all your patching. Thank you guys for listening.